Samuel Wilson picked up his chocolate cup, cradled it in both hands, and gazed across it at his brother, sitting on the other side of the breakfast table. Samuel's eyes were speculative, and he tilted his head to one side as he contemplated Howard's expression. "Are you ready to tell me why you invited me to breakfast this morning?" he asked. Howard looked up from the breakfast sausage he'd been pushing aimlessly around his plate for the last 10 minutes, and Samuel smiled gently. "I'm always happy to share a meal with my favorite brother, Howard. My only brother, now that I think about it. But you're not exactly a big fan of early rising at the best of times, and I practically have to stand over you with a club to get you to join me for breakfast." For that matter, he nodded at the fork-herded sausage making yet another perambulation around his brother's plate. "I don't think you've managed to actually eat a single thing this morning, so I have to admit to a fair amount of curiosity."
"Was I that obvious?"
Howard's answering smile was crooked. "Actually, yes," Samuel said. He paused for a moment, sipping chocolate, then drew a deep breath. "Would it happen your contacts have suggested something to you that indicates we may not have a great many more breakfasts to share?" Howard's powerful shoulders stiffened. He started to respond quickly, but then he stopped himself and gazed back at his older brother for several seconds.
"Yes," he said then. He grimaced. "I still have a few friends in the Guard, you know. One of them, I'd rather not say who even to you, warned me we're running out of time, Samuel. I want you to reconsider what we discussed last 5 day. Please."
"No." Samuel's tone was gentle, almost regretful, but firm.
"Samuel, you know,"
Howard began, but Samuel raised one hand and shook his head. "Yes, Howard, I do know. And I won't pretend I'm not terrified, that your suggestion isn't tempting, very tempting. But I can't. Whatever else may happen, whatever else I may be, I'm still a vicar of Mother Church, and I'm still a priest."
"Samuel, even the Book of Schuller makes it clear that when a situation is truly hopeless, there's no sin in..."
"I said it was tempting," Samuel interrupted, his tone a bit sterner. "But you know that the passages in Schuller you're talking about have a lot more to do with illnesses than with matters of faith."
"You're splitting hairs."
Howard's voice was harder, ribbed with frustration and concern.
"Damn it, Samuel. You know what Clinton's going to do to you. To you especially, of all people, if he gets his hands on you."
"There's a point where it doesn't matter anymore," Samuel replied. "It's only a matter of degree, Howard, and he's going to do exactly the same thing to men we've known and loved for years. Brothers, even if you and I don't share our parents with them. Should I abandon them? I'm the one who got them involved with the Circle in the first place. I've been their leader for years. Now you want me to take the easy path out and leave them to reap the whirlwind?"
"Oh, for Langhorne's sake," Howard snapped, his eyes flashing. "It's going to happen to them whatever you do, Samuel. And don't pretend you got them into this all by yourself, that they didn't know exactly what they were doing. You aren't the only grown-up in the vicarage, dammit, and don't you take that away from them, away from me."
Howard glared at his brother.
"Yes, all of us followed your lead, and I'm pretty sure at least some of the others did it for the same reasons I did, including the fact that I love you. But we also did it because you were right, because we owed God at least an attempt to reclaim his church from bastards like Clinton, even from bastards like Trenair, who's never been the outright sadist Clinton is. That was our choice, and we made it, and don't you dare take that away from us now."
"Howard, I..." Samuel's voice was husky, and he broke off, gazing out at the snowy morning and blinking rapidly. Then he cleared his throat and looked back at his brother. "I'm sorry," he said humbly. "I didn't mean to imply..."
"Oh, shut up."
The words were harsh, but Howard's voice was soft, the hard edges gentled by love, and he shook his head.
I didn't mean that the way it sounded, and I know that's not what you meant to. But that doesn't change anything. I guess that's what really pisses me off. You know as well as I do that it won't change a thing. All you're doing is being stubborn, and that's stupid.
Maybe it is, Samuel acknowledged. You could well be right. But I'm not going to give Clinton that particular satisfaction. I'm not going to face God and the archangels with someone like him thinking I killed myself because I was so terrified of what he intended to do to me.
So instead of giving him that satisfaction, you're going to give him the satisfaction of actually torturing you to death?
Howard shook his head harder.
Samuel, that's the dictionary definition of stupid.
Probably. Samuel's smile was twisted, yet there was a shadow of real amusement in it. Then the smile faded, and it was his turn to shake his head. Eric Dennis found the moral courage and faith to speak the truth when he'd been given the chance to buy an easy death with a lie, Howard. Can I do less? And can I give Jasper Clinton the weapon of my own suicide? Give him the opportunity to shout to all the world that the members of the Circle lacked the faith in the end to face the question and the punishment of Schuller for what we truly believed in? Let him reduce our commitment to the level of his own ambition and greed? You know he'd never have the courage to face something like this for his faith, for what he believes in. Am I supposed to tell the rest of the vicarate, the rest of God's church, the rest of God's children, that this was really only one more power struggle? One more contest over who was going to wrest political power from whom? If I do that, what happens to the next circle? To the next group of men and women who might have successfully opposed Jasper Clinton? Or his successor? Or his successor's successor?